Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. This is where Chicago goes to talk Bears. Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago's home for Bears fans. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. An Odyssey station. The Score!
Time for transition that's brought to you by CarX Tire and Auto here at the top of the hour. That's brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Thanks to Ian Happ for joining us as always today. Thanks to Courtney Fong for telling his story about receiving the Roquan Smith touchdown ball and then summarily returning it. And thanks to Anthony Heron for being his usual convivial presence. Your Thursday will continue with this man, Lawrence Holmes. Hello.
Hello, Dan. You know what we got the chance for today?
Clinch.
Well, yes, but there's a byproduct of that clinch that we have the chance for, too.
Drunken Tony La Russa?
Drunk baseball.
Oh, if it's the first game.
Mm-hmm. Because it's not like it was in the past where the roster is expanded to 40, and you could throw guys out there and be like, hey, you guys didn't help us. You nine guys go out there and go play this second game. You got 28 guys, and they're all going to be drunk. If they win the first game of this, you could have drunk baseball in the second game.
That'd be fun.
I agree.
You put a keg at every base.
I think it could be a lot of fun that you could just have guys just being like, ah, we don't care.
Remember Paul Konerko up in Minnesota?
Yes.
After the clinch?
Yes.
With the sliding in with a beer in his hand?
And I remember Mark Burley in game 3.
Yeah, he'd had a couple, hadn't he?
He'd had a few. He wasn't supposed to pitch.
And he got the save.
Right.
I saw him the next morning.
He wasn't supposed to pitch
at
all.
Yeah, I saw him in the hotel the next morning. I'm like, Eckersley, how's it going? He's like, what? I said, you got the save. Like, I know. And he's like, you know, I had a couple of beers.
Yes.
And then I saw Don Cooper.
Well.
That was unbelievable. I don't care how much or for how long you think you can drink. That is just really astonishing with that guy. Like, up all night, never stop.
Not surprised one bit. So I'm curious on what the White Sox would prefer. I guess, like, the preference is probably we'll play hard in this first game, and if we lose, too bad. Win the second game, party all night. Have an opportunity to at least kind of recover.
Just take Tony's keys.
Well, I mean, I would imagine that he's probably not driving anywhere in Cleveland. But, yeah, just go out there, have fun. See if you can get to Savali. If you can't, fine. Win tonight or win tomorrow. But if they win the first one, drunk baseball.
Have we ever – is there – actual context for that? I don't think there is. They wouldn't act. No, they're too professional for that. They're not going to get. Maybe they'll have a sip of champagne or something. They're not actually going to play hammered.
Well, here's the problem. If it were a 6-10 first pitch for the second game, then you could have a little bit of fun. You could
walk it off.
Walk it off. You could hydrate it off. You could sleep it off in the clubhouse. All of that, and then play the second game a little loopy. But the scheduled time for that game is 4:10. Like, it's back-to-back.
Then they won't. Then they'll shake hands. They'll jump up and down. They'll get some one of those, like, New Year's Eve popper things. And then they'll play, and they'll save the celebration for later.
Okay. Haven't won a division in a really long time.
Yeah, I know. And I'm all for celebrating. You know
me
that.
Too.
I'm on the record that there's no reason not to enjoy yourself because you should. Celebrate everything.
Rick should make like a whole bunch of roster moves afterwards. Aloy's got a strained finger. Or something.
Just have the entire Charlotte team just there.
Have them there, and then just everyone just put on IL for
like
10 days.
Like a split squad kind of Arizona thing.
This guy had an aunt that died, so he's out for 3 games. This guy is this, and this guy's got an oblique. This guy, and just put drunk. This guy's out with drunk. And here's Charlotte for game 2.
Yeah, I'm still and this is fun, and this absolutely should be something that all White Sox fans enjoy, but it's kind of hard when you think about the cold reality of the the recent quality of play and what that says about how good they are at this point in the season.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. And I was trying really hard to not be you. I wanted to live in the space of everything's okay. Like it's
I don't know if that's a compliment or an insult or both.
It's both.
Okay.
Everything is okay because of this big cushion that like everyone knew that you were going to win the division. We've been talking about the White Sox winning the division since July. So all of us are ready for that. And now it's a matter of burning the games off the calendar. And are there actual things to look at inside of these games that you think might matter for the postseason? And the answer is no. So it's like, what do you do other than the health stuff? Now, the Rodon stuff, for example, like I have that very high on my list of things that's making me uncomfortable and giving me hives. And them sending him back out there on Tuesday. It's like, okay, so let's say he guts through, that he Toradols himself up and guts through a performance. Are you still going to believe it? Like, if he goes out there and everything's fine, he's through gritted teeth telling you, no, arm feels fine, gave you six innings, threw 80 pitches. Next day, arm's totally fine, guys, totally fine. Watch me get through this, and we'll do a little workout. Which are you more apt to believe if you're the White Sox?
Well, it isn't just that. It isn't just the White Sox. It's if this is some kind of showcase charade for free agency, none of these other teams are going to say, oh, look, I believe every word he says. He's fine. Here's $100 million. That's not going to happen either. So even if his representatives and his side in this conflict that everybody's kind of talking around, if they think they can just pretend everything's okay, that gets blown up. No team would ever throw a massive contract at somebody without doing all of the work.
I wonder,
and it'll be exposed in the playoffs anyway.
Right. And I wonder if we were just being cold and calculating, if we were just taking the tact of look, we want to get our guy paid, is the best choice to
shut him down
and say, look, we knew where we were with the arm. As soon as we got to the point of no return, we went and cleaned up the arm. He's full go. By the time you get to the winter meetings, you can be like, hey, my guy is already throwing. He's good to go.
You can even have an open showcase and watch him throw 99. You can do that. But if you really have his career best interest at heart, yeah. But it has to be, you don't have the power to do that, really, because otherwise, unless he says, I'm hurt, I can't pitch. I mean, there's really no precedent for that, for a free agent to be. I mean, it happens in college when someone's like, you know, I'm not going to get hurt. I've got my pro contract coming up. I'm not playing in the bowl game. You know, and we know that it gets done surreptitiously.
Isn't he showing you, though?
I don't know.
Like, if you're the White Sox, isn't Carlos Rodon showing you that he's not, at least he's not himself? Or the guy that he's been in 2020 or 2021. So he's at least showing you that. So what do you do? Like, I can't imagine that Tony is going to be like, well, here's my chance to win the World Series with the White Sox. I'm going to roll dice on a guy whose arm I'm not sure still is there in a short series. It's hard for me to believe that they would do that. When there are better options than this version of Carlos Rodon.
Well, I can tell you this. If I were Rick Hahn, I would have done the MRI already.
Yeah.
Regardless. After watching what happened last time, I would have said, precautionary, let's just rule things out. Because I don't want to get you hurt, and I want to just...
I don't want you to lose your payday.
For everybody's best interest, yes.
Let's go and find out what's happening.
And that's why I'm not sure what these conflicted motivations are from Rodon himself, those who represent him, the team. I don't know. I don't know how the communication has been. It doesn't seem like it's been great because of the way Tony La Russa offered. He said, well, when we did it with previous rest, they didn't have any problem with that. His representative didn't have any problem with it. Like he slipped there. Well, we didn't ask if his representatives had any problem with that.
Yeah, I felt that Tony, whether he was trying or not, was probably the most honest about all of this. Like, yes, we're concerned. We're concerned that this guy, we've given him rest, we've given him opportunities, and he still hurts. But back to drunk baseball. I'm looking forward to seeing drunk baseball. So drunk baseball is something that we'll spend a little bit of time on. Joe Ostrowski is going to be on the show today. There was a team that both of us early in the season were like, they're still going to win, and now they're winning. So we're going to talk about that. I'll ask him about the numbers on what the Bears look like with Justin Fields versus Andy Dalton. I want to spend some time talking. Let me ask you about this, Dan, because it's a topic that I'm going to develop a little bit later on in the show. Why are the Bears acting like they owe Andy Dalton anything other than money?
Layla asked that too. And why won't they be as supportive of Justin Fields outwardly as they were when it took a village to raise the confidence level of Mitchell Trubisky? They're treating them completely differently.
I don't understand. I don't understand that. You have I was a little surprised to see Matt Nagy being clobbered nationally on this particular thing with the back and forth.
It's never ending.
Like, he's getting clobbered on it. I just don't understand. Andy Dalton is not your long term solution. You've drafted your long term solution.
He doesn't matter at all. He doesn't matter. He's a cipher.
And even if, and Spiegs and Parkins and I were talking about this yesterday, even if your whole thing is, well, we have to appear like we're treating him right because we want to be in the business of getting free agent, at that position, you're set. You know what your next 3 or 4 years are because you drafted your next 3 or 4 years. Free agents are going to come because you're going to give them money, like in this particular case with Andy Dalton. And the NFL doesn't really work that way. I don't think that the Bears get a black eye or a bad reputation by making a switch to a quarterback that they drafted.
And who's more talented?
I don't understand what they think they owe Andy Dalton. I can't figure it out. Because you're giving him, you gave him a significant raise. And it would suck for him to get the significant raise and then be the backup. But where was he going to start?
Right.
Other than here. There was no place else where Andy Dalton was going to be the starting guy. And he's being paid handsomely.
Don't stop. Yeah!
Tim Anderson's leadoff home run has given the White Sox a 1-0 lead in Cleveland.
Drunk baseball. So, Dan, that's what I'm going to do. And then I'm going to talk with Jason Leisure about covering Matt Nagy through all of this. And you're right. Every time that we're in here, you and Layla, and now me and you, there's a national talking head that's like, you know who's dumb? The Bears.
They're a punching bag on all of these screaming fake debate shows.
It's very weird. So have a good rest of your day, Dan. Yep. We're going to have a little fun on the show today. That is Dan Bernstein. When he is together with Layla Rahimi, it is the Bernstein and Rahimi show. Monday through Fridays, 9 a.m. until noon.